This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, folks. We're going to jump right into our first guest. Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork joins us. Her communications director yesterday, Ms. Doliel, requested that the chief said that she wanted to come on the show. We were able to accommodate her first up this morning, and we're glad that she's joining us. Chief, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I've been wanting to come on your show for some time to talk about all the changes within the NOPD, all the positive things that are going on, just to give you, you know, and the public, the state of the New Orleans Police Department. You know, last year we lost over 100 commissioned and professional civilian staff members, and we hired only 28 recruits last year in 2022. This year we currently have a class that is getting ready to graduate this Friday, March 31st, with 11. And we have a class that is currently in the academy now. They just started some weeks ago, and it's 18 of them. And we're slated on April 10th to have about 20 to 25 new recruits going into another class. So I think we're doing a great job as far as the recruitment effort is going. You know, we are also offering a lot of training to officers. Now, it's really, really important that we maintain a level of training that we've risen to in the previous years since the consent decree came in and different things like that. So I think we're really doing great with that. You know, I released my strategic plan, which focuses on reducing crime, violent crime in the city, and we're currently down 20%. And violent crime. And that's because of the work, the hard work, the understanding, the commitment of the New Orleans Police Department, men and women, and not just the commission, it's also our professional civilian staff. With their support, we're doing a great job, and we're getting those numbers down as far as violent crime is concerned. The plan, again, also, you know, it's focused on recruitment and retention. How do we retain what we have? How do we keep these officers here and engaged in wanting them to stay with the New Orleans Police Department? Well, we went out, we talked to the officers, we wanted to hear what they had to say, what they needed to do a great job, what they needed to be satisfied with working with the New Orleans Police Department. And so most of them talked about equipment and technology and different things like that. So what we did is we purchased over 400 computers. Those were distributed to every district, division that we have. We also purchased over 700 vehicles. And just a couple of days ago, we actually started giving out those cars to our homicide unit, our special victims unit. The district personnel received some of those vehicles. And also our traffic division received some of those vehicles. So, you know, promises made, promises kept. We're doing what the officers asked us to do. And it's not just about money. Everybody said that. Everybody knows it. It's just not about money. It's about having a place to work in where you can be comfortable. That's clean. That's operational. That's working. So we have been all the 4th District Station is coming up. It'll be finished sometime this summer. The 2nd District Station is pretty new. And the other stations that have some issues in with painting and different things that need to be repaired, we've also been working with property management to get those things done. And we've also had a local architect and some students from Xavier and Tulane volunteer. They're called the Blue Crew. They came out on last Saturday and painted the district stations, cleaned up, did some small and minor repairs. So we love that the community is supporting us because we always want to support them. You know, they are our partners too. And so there's a lot of positive things going on with the department. And so I just wanted to come on and talk about that. And of course, in that strategic plan, we also talked about consent decree compliance. We also are working on being compliant in the things that we need to be compliant in so we can move on to the self-monitoring phase. We've been doing a lot of work with that. And I think we are on the track to do what we need to do to become substantially compliant and move on to that next phase.
Chief, historically, a number of previous chiefs have been able to say some of the same things that you just said here. And I kind of view those as one-offs, and not to be critical, but what are you doing inside of the organization to make sure that you're going to be in a position to be able to maintain what you've done? So when we talk about maintenance of a vehicle fleet, what is going to change in the future that's going to make that situation better and long-term and systemic? The same holds true with property management. We've had these celebrations of dressing up the district stations, but some, you know, come to find out 2-3 years later, we're right back where we started all over again. These are the things that I've talked about on this show about a business enterprise minding the P's and Q's of an organization and make sure that we're doing it day in, day out, monthly, yearly, so that we don't get behind the eight ball and we don't create these situations where, you know, officer morale suffers for pretty low-hanging fruit issues, things that are not rocket science in order to address.
So, you know, speaking about the vehicles, you know, how are we going to maintain that? But we, you know, thought about that long and hard. We're going to buy these new vehicles. Of course, we want them to last for some time. So we are assigning each of those vehicles to the individual detectives and officers. Those are going to be their take-home cars. And it's going to be their responsibility to make sure they arrive at our EMD unit and have those cars PM'd on the scheduled times that they have. We've created a graph. We've created a list where who we're giving what, when there's the oil is supposed to be changed, when there's a problem with it. And, of course, the city has a whole new area where EMD is now operating out of. It's been done by the it was an idea by the CAO's office. Look, we really need to have a robust EMD unit where our cars can actually be maintained and serviced. So those are the things that we're doing to make sure we keep those vehicles in line and where they're not falling off. You know, so that's one of the things that we're doing as far as vehicles are concerned.
One of the issues that a number of surveys have revealed, you talk about it, equipment, technology, but one that comes to the forefront has been officers' perspective of unfair treatment within PIB investigations. And obviously, yeah, that has been the forefront of the news on a number of different issues. There's a request by the city council at the present time. Let's just jump right to it. In the VAPI investigation, that they think it ought to be transferred to the OIG. Do you support that happening?
Well, at this point, I really don't want to comment on the VAPI investigation. I have not; it has not arrived to my desk where I can review the entire case and approve or not approve it. So I really don't want to speak on it. But what we intend to do is...
But that question doesn't go to approval. That question goes to whether or not you believe that an independent body is better suited to investigate this particular matter because of the mayor's involvement.
I believe that once I have the opportunity to reveal all the facts in the case, and that's to really review the actual types case in front of me on my desk, then I can make a better decision about should we have an outside source actually look at this. And we have talked to different ones just in case we think that we should do that.
Do you believe that the investigation has been compromised already by release of the audio tapes, which is the very essence of the evidence that supports this administrative investigation?
Again, I really don't know because I have not had, I have not seen it. I have not.
But Chief, we're aware of the fact that the audio tapes have been released and that, you know, the comments of a number of members of the present executive security team for the mayor were compelled to give honest statements within that investigation. We don't feel like it's been compromised.
Let me say this. The moment that I was informed that there was some compromise of that particular case, I asked for an audit of the where the audio tapes are kept to make sure, you know, that the only people who were supposed to be listening to those audio tapes were. And then I was informed that it was not in our office that these things were actually compromised and went through, went out to the public. So it's still under investigation. I'm not really sure whole thing, but because I have not seen it, I have not listened to the tapes. I don't know what the recordings say. Maybe a couple of things that were shown on the news here and there, but I don't get to watch the news that much. So I really can't speak to it, and I want to be fair to the public and give them all the correct information in the effort to remain transparent and truthful and honest in everything that I do. I want to give a fair assessment of it before I give that information out, which is why I don't really want to give any comment on that particular case.
And I want to be fair to you, but are you telling the listening audience, because a lot of people are concerned about this, obviously, you know, part of the rub probably, and we'll talk about that in a moment, with the federal monitor was, you know, the comments that he made about disrupting the possible transfer of Jeffrey Vapi back to the executive team. But it doesn't concern you that the city attorney was in possession of audio tapes of interviews of officers in a PIB investigation. Because in my view, the city attorney has a conflict. The city attorney very much represents the executive branch of government. The executive branch of government is, in fact, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, who could be a potential witness. Be interesting to find out whether or not she's ever been invited to give a statement and whether or not she's ever rejected that. But the fact of the matter is that everyone that I've ever talked to that ever worked in PIB has said it was not protocol to share statements with the city attorney unless and until there was a request by the city attorney because of some complaint, whether it be within civil service or a lawsuit or a complaint that was filed. And so that wouldn't cause you concern?
The city attorney's office also represents the New Orleans Police Department.
So, I understand. But you do recognize the conflict here, right?
I can't, like I said, I don't really want to comment on this issue because I have not had the opportunity to look at any of it. And I don't think it would be fair to anybody involved to give my opinion or say what my thoughts are. If I don't have the entire investigation in front of me and know all the facts of what happened.
I would assume then that you've not asked the city attorney how she in fact came into possession of these audio tapes, and the head of your PIB has not articulated to you how the city attorney came into possession of the audio tapes.
I spoke to the head of my public integrity bureau, and the way they got those recordings is because they represent the New Orleans Police Department.
So they forwarded it to them as a result of a request by the city attorney, or they just voluntarily forwarded them to the city attorney?
I'm not clear on that, because just like the city attorney has access to those things inside the Public Integrity Bureau, so does the IPM and monitors with the consent decree. They have access to all those things. If you look at audit trails and different investigations, you can see those same people's names on the audit trails. So they have access to those files.
Do you know whether or not the city attorneys listened to the tapes?
I don't know at this point. Like I said, I can't comment on any of it because right now I am waiting for the completed investigation to hit my desk so I can do a fair review of everything that happened and then make my decision.
And just for complete transparency, you may not know this about me, but I reviewed every IED file in the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office from 1995 to 2007. And if this case was coming to me, my expectation would be, and I'm curious what yours is, that there would have been an invitation to the mayor to give a statement. And because I think it's critical when you listen to the tapes that are out there right now talking about the boss this, the boss that, you know, and maybe running afoul of internal procedures within the NOPD as to accounting of time and things of that nature. Do you have an expectation that the invitation would be given? And would you hope to see a statement of the mayor included in this investigation?
I would expect them a request for an interview. I don't know if that happened. I don't know if a statement was given because, again, I have not seen the investigation. And that's the honest answer. That's the only answer I could give you because I have not seen it.
That is an honest answer.
I'm not sure who all was interviewed in this particular investigation.
Yeah. Do you have concern that the executive protection unit that are the men and women of your department was constituted and the folks that were assigned to it at the start of this investigation being compelled to give statements against the boss, so to speak, which a lot of what they said was not favorable to the boss, of having these same individuals continue on as members of the executive protection unit?
Do I have concerns about them continuing their job because they gave statements in an investigation?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking me?
Yes,
no,
ma'am.
I don't. I expect them to have the same to serve with the same integrity that they have been serving with, and to continue to do their job. Nobody should feel like they can't be honest in an investigation and still perform in their current assignment.
I was just curious because it seemed to me that a number of them had made statements that they deviated from what was accepted protocols and executive protection, and would be concerned that not only the mayor's life and others at risk, but the officers themselves, and why the deviation. It would seem to me that it would require a shock and awe response to remediate this very action when you had former folks that were assigned to the unit that were commanders that said, couldn't explain why the deviation.
Again, I'm not really sure exactly what you're talking about in that investigation because I have not listened to the tapes. I don't have the investigation in front of me for my review. So when I do, I am going to review all of that information. But ahead of that, I have already started completing over a policy. I have our PSAB unit going through a policy, creating a policy for executive protection and standard operating procedures for executive protection, and also inserting a supervisor who's going to be on site, hands on in that unit. That's what that EP policy is going to encase in the coming months. We're right now in the process of drafting that and making sure everything is legal with inside that policy, and we're not violating anybody's rights, and in staying in best practices with executive protection.
I think folks would be encouraged to hear that, and I think they appreciate that that's your response. And I think, you know, that's why a lot of folks wanted answers to these questions. Yesterday, I think you granted an interview with one of the TV stations and said that the mayor's press release relative to the public forums in and around the consent decree, and your office forwarded me a letter that was drafted by the Davalier Law Group, Charles Zimmer, counsel for the City of New Orleans and the New Orleans Police Department, objecting to the participation, saying that it's not outlined in the consent decree. You actually requested the mayor to issue that release?
I did not. I made that assessment all on my own. As a matter of fact, I even had a meeting with the judge last week, and I expressed my concern about her wanting to different people inside myself and different people inside the organization, as well as other department heads inside the city of New Orleans, to give a presentation on things that just did not focus on being compliant in the consent decree. I have a duty to support the men and women of this department. And when we are not on track, when we are not focusing on what we need to do to get out of this consent decree, it concerns me. So I had a meeting with the judge. I offered that our department would present on consent decree matters, compliance matters, and she declined it. From that, I spoke with the mayor, and I told her what my stance was going to be on it, what I felt about it, and my position on it, and she supported it. Her comments were in support of what I decided that we were going to do moving forward. We have been in the consent decree for now 10 years, and we were doing it the other way, so a different way. Today, we're going to do it a different way. We're going to pivot and focus on what is it that the New Orleans Police Department needs to do to come in substantial compliance with the consent decree so we can move on to the self-monitoring phase. And that was all my request was for the court. We did not say we did not want to participate, but we did not want to speak from a scripted PowerPoint that the judge requested that we do. She gave us an entire agenda of things that she wanted to do and different people with inside the New Orleans Police Department. It's very time consuming. And also a lot of time is being taken up with the judge focusing on civilianization. From my understanding, the judge is the neutral, unbiased party in the consent decree between the DOJ and the New Orleans Police Department. And asking about having matrix meetings constantly that are time consuming, it drains our resources. It drains our the work that we need to be doing in order to be in compliance, in order to reduce crime or what have you, many different things. And so I ask that those meetings cease, and I ask that we only report on consent decree matters that had to do where we are in compliance and where we're not, so we can do what we need to do to move on to the next phase. I respect to the highest Judge Morgan and the entire monitoring team. I do. But I think we have been doing the same thing for the last 10 years, and that has not gotten us out of the consent decree. So it is my idea, my decision to go in another direction, take a stand, and pivot to just focusing on only being compliant in consent decree matters. And again, they declined that presentation. I respect that they declined that presentation. And I just felt like we weren't going to participate in something that was scripted. We were told being told what we should report on, how we should report it. I think it was just too taxing on my staff and a number of other people inside city government. And so we declined to participate in that public meeting.
What do you anticipate the reaction to be, and whether or not there's going to be any further meetings as it relates to the position that you're taking?
I expect that we are going to meet with the monitoring team again and refocus on the things that we need to become in compliance. I don't expect anything different. You know, I respect their decision to have this meeting and what they wanted to talk about. And I think that they respect our decision not to participate. Now we're going to focus on those compliance issues. That's what we want. If we really focus on the things that the paragraphs that we need to get through that are within the consent decree from 90 to 100 days, we can be substantially compliant in those things and moving on to the self-monitoring phase. That is truly my belief. And we all have been very respectful and professional with each other. So I don't expect it to be any different. Like I said, I respect those people to the highest. I respect the position of the court. I respect the judge and her position and the monitoring team. So I think we're going to have the same relationship that we did have. We're going to try and fix more of our communications moving forward with when reports are due or reporting things to them or proof to them that we're in compliance in certain issues. I've been speaking with my PSAB deputy chief on that. And so I think the relationship is going to remain the same, respectful and still moving toward compliance.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork, the chief of the NOPD. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork of the NOPD. Chief, the court kind of disagrees with your position, issued an order and said that that they were disappointed in the fact that of the way the announcement came out and said that public transparency and accountability are core elements of the consent decree that have been recognized and embraced by the court, the monitor, the Department of Justice, and the city. The judge goes on to say that, you know, they canceled the meeting that was to be held at Loyola and that in the future there will be these public open hearings at the court. What is the position? What position are you going to take if there's an opening of court and they're asking for folks to opine on certain issues?
We welcome. You know, we at no point are not trying to be transparent here. And if we are compelled to go to a hearing in open court, we will be there. You know, and we're going to answer the questions that are asked. This is a public meeting. It's like a press conference. We're not really required to participate or present anything at these meetings. There was a Zoom public meeting in this month on March 7th. We did not participate in that. We didn't present anything. The monitoring team did, and usually that's who presents at these things is the monitoring team. But if we are instructed to come to a court hearing, we're absolutely going to go to the court hearing and give the information that is asked of us.
You don't think that there's a benefit to the NOPD? I mean, obviously, the mayor went in a very proactive way in trying to come out from under the consent decree. Went around the federal judge last year, visited with DOJ officials in Washington, D.C. It hasn't really gained any traction utilizing that strategy. But I guess I would have to ask, you've been around the NOPD for a long time, and in the last 12 to 14 months, do you believe that there hasn't been situations where the organization has fumbled the ball and lost ground?
Well, let me say this. In April of 2022, at that public meeting or that public hearing, we were told that there were two areas that we needed to come into more compliance with, and that was bias-free policing and stop searches and arrests. By August, it was something totally different. My goal is to figure out what those areas are, what it is that changed in those months, and fix that, go back into compliance with those two areas or other areas that we need to be in compliance with, and move to the self-monitoring phase. We are willing to do the work. We understand that the monitoring team is a guide. They can tell us where we're deficient, but they are not necessarily compelled to tell us how to do it. We're supposed to figure that out, and it's all the figure out is something sustainable. Put something in place that can, after the monitoring team is gone years out, we can still have those same rules, regulations, policies in place, and they will be working. And that is my goal. That's what we're trying to get to as a team. And, you know, for the last 10 years, we've been under the consent decree. So the vast majority of the department knows nothing but the consent decree. That's all they know. You know, the vast majority of officers have less than 10 years on the job. So coming in, it is all that they know. There are a few old timers like myself who didn't come under the consent decree and know how things worked at that time. And I told the monitoring team with the judge there with our very first meeting that when the consent decree was first implemented, we needed it absolutely. We absolutely needed it. We needed that close and effective supervision. We needed a lot of those things. But now it's time to complete it and move on to the self-monitoring phase. But we are willing to do what it takes to get to that area.
And I don't mean to belabor the point, but when you say that there kind of was a change of heart from April to August, that's the what, that's the outcome. Did we ever determine the why? Why the change of heart?
I was not, of course, a part of either the PSAB unit at that time or the executive team. I was just on the command staff, so I wasn't privy to what exactly happened in that area or why we were in compliance in some areas. It's what we wanted to discuss today, you know, at this meeting that was planned. Those are the things that we wanted to talk about because we were so close in April of 2022, and then by August of 2022, things had changed drastically. So that's a concern of mine. So I wanted to focus on what it is that changed, what is it that we need to do today and moving forward so all of us can move on. You know, I'm sure
Let me ask you this, though. So, and I get what you're saying. I am not a big fan of consent decrees. In fact, when Mayor Landrieu asked me about it before he entered into it, he asked me for my advice. I told him, don't do it. And I understand the complexities of it. And I think collaborative reformation would have been a much better track to go down. But what do you think is going to be the response, or has there been a response of this monitoring team when the mayor makes a comment that an internal investigation of Jeffrey Vapi is a witch hunt? I mean, that's a classic example of fumbling the ball and losing ground. And I get that she's all emotional, but I know for certain in my mind, and I don't know you at all. I know members of your family. I have a lot of respect for them. And you as well. I can't imagine in my wildest dreams that you believe that this investigation is a witch hunt, right?
I cannot speak for the mayor.
You wouldn't characterize it as a witch hunt, would you?
It's an investigation as far as I'm concerned, but I cannot speak to why, what comments the mayor may have made in reference to this. I can only speak for the men and women of the New Orleans Police Department. You know, they are the priority. You were the sheriff of Jefferson Parish.
Yeah, but Chief, let's be fair.
You don't particularly care for the consent decree. It is my, you know, that's one of the things that was an issue as far as when we talked to, went out and talked to officers and asked them what were their grumps or gripes or complaints about it. And that was one of the things they talked about is the consent decree. So in order to, in order to make sure we get out of the consent decree and the officers don't feel a certain way about it is a real thing. You know, it's a real goal. You know, we've tried to even explain to them how the consent decree is really a help. But at this point, we're ready to do whatever it is that we need to do to become compliant and move on to the next phase. And the mayor's comments, you know, it don't necessarily have anything to do with the consent decree. In her statement on yesterday, she says we're going to keep doing the same things that we've been doing to move to the next phase of the consent decree. So I don't think whatever it is that she said has anything to do with us not being wanting to comply or wanting to participate with the consent decree.
No, I understand, but you have to admit that that's one of the concerns relative to the consent decree has been internal affairs or PIB investigations. I mean, it is what it is. Look, I understand the difficult position you're in. She's your boss. But, you know, I always tend to kind of put myself in on the opposite side's position and looking at it. And when you hear comments like that, and she's the ultimate authority of the NOPD, whether anybody likes that or not, and when comments are made like that, that doesn't serve this organization well. I mean, your men and women are conducting an investigation. They're doing the best that they can. It's a difficult situation. Everyone has to admit to that, and then have the boss say, this is a witch hunt. That just doesn't bode well for an organization. It doesn't bode well for recruiting. It doesn't bode well for retention. It just doesn't. I mean, I think we just need to call it for what it is.
I do work for Mayor Cantrell. That is true. But when I was chosen for this interim position, she interviewed me, I'm sure, did a whole bunch of research, asked a whole lot of questions, and she chose me for this position because she recognized my leadership skills and abilities.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Because she did, I also was transparent about leading the department, and she lets me lead the department. Nobody has their thumb on me. Nobody is controlling me. I make the decisions for the New Orleans Police Department, and the most important thing here is the men and women. I have to support them, and you're right. I'm going to support them in all the work that they do because they don't get a lot of kudos. They don't see a lot of positive stories on the New Orleans Police Department in the news, and they are doing a lot of good things, a number of good works. They're out there working really, really hard, and they never hear the feel-good stories. They never hear the positive stories. So it's not about what the mayor is saying. It is about the work that the men and women of the New Orleans Police Department are doing. And
so
yes,
when we come,
we're not perfect. We have some problems, and we have a lot of things to work on. Public Integrity Bureau is one of them.
Chief, I don't mean to be rude. I need to get to a break.
Sure,
let's talk about that when we come back, about your redeployment strategy and the successes that you've had as a result thereof that are being reflected in the crime stats that we're reviewing weekly. We're visiting with Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork. Chief, I, for one, was excited when I heard that you were going to embark upon good, clean, aggressive, proactive law enforcement in the hotspot areas, and you developed a redeployment strategy, more boots on the ground. Was really excited to hear that, and it seems that it's yielding some good, positive results.
Yes, you know, I am so proud of the work we're doing along, you know, with state, federal, local partners. You know, we're not, we're strategically deploying, but we're not doing it the way that we've done it in the past. We're doing short-term investigations, medium-term, and long-term. And those short-term terms are going out there with our federal partners and picking up those persons who are actually have outstanding warrants, felony warrants. So we're doing that. Our mediums or more of those two or more people who we may think are a gang type or whatever, looking at them a little bit more and also picking them up on any warrants that they may have. We have the in our long-term stuff is those people who have these huge groups, these cells of people who may be involved in different types of violent crimes. We are all looking at them collectively to make sure they are not wanted. If they are, we're picking them up. And then we're just making sure that we are doing everything that we can to get all those people off the street who continue to repeat those crimes over and get out of jail and come back and repeat those crimes again. We want to make sure we have the U.S. Attorney's Office look at those people who are have several felony convictions, mm-hmm. and they're in possession of a firearm when we arrest them. So we can move those to federal cases. You know, it could be adopted as a federal case. And we've had a number of those so far. But what we plan on doing is on Monday, April 3rd, I am going to have a press conference where I am going to explain everything and talk about everything that we have accomplished and things we are planning to do in the upcoming months. But we're going to talk about everything that we did accomplish in my first 100 days. April 1st makes my 100th day as interim superintendent, and we're going to talk about all the positive things that we are doing. We are changing, you know, we're changing the mindset of the officers. They're being more engaged, more active, because they have that support. They know that I am going to support them. I'm going to,
see that in those gun cases. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet, right, Chief? I mean, it's bitter, I guess, that they have been seizing so many guns, but sweet because they have been seizing so many guns.
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, they are the supervisors, the officers who are out there, boots on the ground, all our specialized units, SOD, SRT, everybody has been really, really keeping their foot on the gas as far as being very engaged and taking these guns off the street and taking these people who are who have been wanted for some time off the street. You know, the mayor reached out to the U.S. Marshal. We're having like 10 to 15 U.S. Marshals come down, and we have a list of warrants. We're gonna work on that. We have many things that we're doing, but all of that is going to be talked about in the press conference on on Monday when I give out all the information that we did in the first 100 days. It's very important, and you know this. As a former sheriff, you know, you're only as strong as the people in your organization. So it is Absolutely. Very, very important to support them in every way. You know, to tell them they're doing a good job, to listen to them, to give them the tools and technology that they need so they can have enough tools in the toolbox to be able to do a great job and serve the citizens of this great city. And also to, have public safety at another level. You know, I'm not sure how long I'm going to be in this position, but while I'm here, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that, you know, the citizens of New Orleans are protected and served, but also that my officers know that they are valued and I support them. I'm going to support them.
Chief, there was a little hiccup with gun cases there with the DA's office. Has that been resolved?
Yes. We've met and spoke with the district attorney, and we're back on track with we're having meetings every so often to make sure every part of the criminal justice process is doing what they need to do. If there's a hiccup somewhere, we'll discuss it and we're going to fix it. So, and that could be from when we meet with the district attorney's office on a particular case, we're making sure that officers are making sure all the information that is needed, all the evidence is needed, that all those things are in those reports so those cases could be prosecuted. We are, yeah. Our lines of communication are definitely great now. It's open.
Chief, I apologize. We got to get out at this point in time. Let me say this, please. Uh-huh. We want you to succeed. We need you to succeed.
And thank you for letting me give our citizens anytime
you want to come on. Look, I ask some tough questions. I get it. I mean, that's the role. But we need you and want you to succeed because this is a defining moment for this city. And I don't think that there's anybody that wants it any more than myself and others in this city that want to make sure that we go out and catch the bad guys every single solitary day. Thank you for coming on.
I'm doing it all for my city. Thank you.
I appreciate you being upfront and forthright, and have a great week.
You too.
Okay, folks, that's Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.